Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Backheeled Show. My name is Joe Lowry, and on today's episode, we are diving into some success and some real failure for Major League Soccer in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, and we will go ahead and take a look at the best of the weekend's action to come. We'll do all of that in less than 10 minutes, because here at Backheeled, we believe that just because soccer games are 90 minutes long doesn't mean that soccer podcasts have to be. So, without any further ado, let's get to it and talk soccer. All right, folks, let's start off with the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Some success and some failure for Major League Soccer teams in this particular competition over the last couple of days. First, on Tuesday evening, we had the Columbus Crew taking on Tigres away in Monterrey and getting a result and advancing to the semifinals of this year's CCC. After a 1-1 draw back home in Columbus, they took on Tigres and got the job done away in Mexico. Not something that you can say of many MLS teams ever in this competition or otherwise. The Crew snagged an equalizer in the second half from Diego Rossi, took the game to penalties where they won 4-3. There was a lot to like from Columbus in this game. Some early struggles from Patrick Schulte that he redeemed himself from in the penalty shootout. Cucho Hernandez on the field, and we won't see him this weekend against Real Salt Lake for the Columbus Crew after the red card he picked up last weekend against DC United. But Cucho was sharp in this game. He's key on the goal sequence, cutting the ball into his right foot from the left side in transition. A lot to like here from the Crew, who never truly looked outside of that early error, never truly looked overawed, not just in this game, but in this entire tie. It does seem to me that Wilfred Nance and this Columbus Crew front office and these players, they're building something special. They came down to Mexico and played their game. Columbus had 54% of the ball, and it was always going to be skewed towards them after André Pierre Gignac scores in the third minute, because at that point it is all about the Crew's ability or inability to get back into the game. But they did, and they did it by playing their way, and they did it without everybody that Nancy would want in his starting 11, in his starting 11. We saw Marino Hinestroza start on the left side, and he's still trying to find himself as a young professional. We didn't get quite the look at the first-choice back line for this team. It was Derek Jones in midfield instead of Aiden Morris after he was suspended for this game from a red in the first leg. This was not a first-choice Columbus Crew team, and yet they got the job done in Monterrey. They are the only hope for MLS to win their second ever CONCACAF Champions Cup or league in the modern iteration of this competition after Seattle did it just a few years ago. And they look like still the top team in Major League Soccer. They're one of the best teams in this region. They showed it by beating Tigres, and they'll have a chance, Columbus, to continue to show it when they take on Monterrey. Inter Miami could not beat Monterrey after going down 2-1 at Chase Stadium in Fort Lauderdale. In the first leg, they come into Monterrey against CF Monterrey and lose 3-1. This was not an excellent game from Inter Miami. They were outshot 17-5, did not have a lot of clean looks on goal in this match, despite having a lot of the ball, even from the early stages. Mistakes from Drake Callender, and overall not a super clean performance in build-up in that initial phase of play from their own third from Inter Miami. And then in the final third, I thought we saw Chelo Weygandt, the new right wing back for this Inter Miami team after they traded DeAndre Yedlin to FC Cincinnati. I thought he looked poor in this match. Jordi Alba didn't have a huge impact either. Inter Miami struggled to use the wings against what was a really, really narrow 4-4-2 or 4-2-3-1 block from Monterrey, and it resulted in a really congested performance through the middle. Messi had touches, and he looked dangerous in moments, but not especially dangerous in the final third. Luis Suarez was kept fairly quiet. Julian Gressel wasn't particularly impactful from the right side of central midfield. This team just didn't have it against Monterrey. It's a tough job for Tata Martino and this Miami team. This is a big failure for them in a competition that Tata and this Miami squad called out as the one that they really wanted to go after this year. To go out in the quarterfinals is not what this group wanted. It's not good enough. This is a failure for Inter Miami. Not to say that it was going to be easy to make it past Monterrey. Monterrey, along with Tigres, Club America, some of the giants of not just Mexican soccer, but soccer in this region. But Inter Miami, when they put together the star power that they've assembled, that tells you that, hey, we want to go out there and make a statement against these kinds of teams. And Miami failed to do it in difficult conditions down in Mexico. It's the first black mark on this team in 2024. We'll see how their roster continues to change and evolve, especially as we're getting reports from Paul Tenorio and others that MLS is really considering a mid-season roster rules change that will allow teams a bit more top-end flexibility in their squads. Having three senior DPs and three U22 players, a little extra GAM flowing around the league as well, coming soon, it seems like. Again, according to reports from Paul, I'd be a little surprised if those changes were not put into place ahead of the summer window. Miami will have a chance to continue to strengthen this squad, but right now, you could see the cracks in this group, and they are real, real large. So failure for Inter Miami, failure, of course, for the New England Revolution, who were never really in this tie against Club America after going down 4-0 in the first leg in Foxborough. Success, though, for Columbus. They will carry the torch for Major League Soccer. As this tournament continues, they'll take on Monterrey in the semifinals starting in 2 weeks' time. Now, we're looking ahead, so let's keep looking ahead to the action across American soccer this weekend, starting in MLS, just to keep that thread going. The MLS game that I am most looking forward to watching this weekend comes from the Eastern Conference, CF Montreal hosting FC Cincinnati. This is a new-look CF Montreal team under manager Laurent Courtois. They're coming off of a blowout loss on the road to Seattle. This is their first home game of the season. They started on a 6-game road stretch. They'll have a chance to come out there and make a statement about who they want to be in front of their home fans against last year's Supporters Shield winners in FC Cincinnati, a Cincy team that is still very much trying to find themselves. Right now, they lose 2-1 to the New York Red Bulls last weekend. A bunch of new starters for Pat Noonan this season, dealing with some troubles in goal. Evan Loro starting for the injured Roman Celentano. Cincy has a lot of work to do, but they also have got a very, very high ceiling this year. I think we're in for a quality game between these two teams. CF Montreal, I expect, will want to keep a decent amount of the ball. Cincinnati can do the same. Both teams will be out of back three shapes. I think we're going to see a lot of fun matchups in midfield, some good give and take on the wings, star power when it comes to Aaron Bupenza and Lucho Acosta, and again, a real look at who this CF Montreal team is going to be in 2024. That game is on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Let's take a look at the NWSL, which is back in action after a break for the April international window. The U.S. Women's National Team, of course, winning the She Believes Cup after another penalty shootout against Canada on Tuesday evening in Columbus, Ohio. I've got my eyes drawn to a very specific game this weekend. It's on Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Gotham FC taking on the Kansas City Current. Gotham, of course, last year's champions. They get a lot stronger in the offseason as well, with key additions from across the U.S. Women's National Team player pool. And the Kansas City Current, who have been on fire this season in the NWSL. They're the only perfect team with 3 wins from 3 games in this young 2024 season. Goals coming left and right from this team. Even with a couple of injuries, they have still continued to look very, very dangerous in the attack. And this game gives everybody an excuse to take a close look at Claire Hutton, young central midfielder for the Kansas City Current, just 18 years old, but has been a nailed-on starter for this team in 2024. She looks like the real deal when it comes to winning the ball and providing a solid platform in central midfield for this team. A lot to like about Hutton, a lot to like right now about Kansas City. And Gotham, we know the star power that they have. Just 1 win from their first 2 games in the NWSL regular season. Finally, let's close things out with a look at the USL. We got the TV numbers from their CBS debut. 362,000 folks tuned in to watch Louisville City against Indy 11 last weekend on CBS. A positive number for the USL Championship as they look forward to more games over network TV this year. This weekend in the USL, I'm keeping things at home for me. Phoenix Rising taking on the Colorado Springs Switchbacks. I'll be out at the Phoenix Rising Stadium over in Central Phoenix doing color commentary for this game. Last year's reigning champions in Phoenix Rising, taking on one of the few teams without a single point this season in the Colorado Springs Switchbacks. Still, this Colorado team has real talent. Ronaldo Damas up top for this team. On loan in Colorado from Sweden, still yet to get on the score sheet this season after productive previous campaigns of San Diego and Orange County. He is a real goal threat, slipping in behind the back line for Phoenix Rising, which features Pop Marboy, a player that is absolutely worth watching if you're an American soccer fan. A rookie, had interest from MLS coming out of Clemson last year as a freshman, decided to go the USL route, wanted to give himself a clearer path to playing time, a little more flexibility when it comes to movement as well. He's been an every game starter through 5 matches for Phoenix Rising and continues to look dominant on the defensive end. Has work to do when it comes to his distribution, but Pop Marboy, young Senegalese center back, a player worth watching moving forward. Phoenix Rising still trying to find their footing in the 2024 campaign. Plenty of other great games around the USL, but aesthetically, this game will be very, very fun. Colorado like to spread the field. They like to possess. Phoenix Rising like to do the exact same thing out of their back three shape. It's been a 3-4-3 for Danny Stone this season. A big game for both teams out west as they try to close the gap between themselves in the top, with Orange County and Sacramento both sitting on 11 points. All right, folks, that is our abbreviated weekend preview here on the Backheeled Show. If you enjoyed this episode, go check out backheeled.com and subscribe. Tons of good stuff coming out on the site over there. For now, though, I'll leave you right here. We'll be back again next week.